Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Well, hello, Knife Junkie, and welcome to episode number 141 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. It is the place for knife newbies and knife junkies to learn all about knives and knife collecting. A full midweek show this week. We've got a lot to talk about. First up, Knife Day conversation, as well as Bob's trip to the beach. We'll learn more about another birthday knife. We're going to, of course, talk about Thursday night knives coming up tomorrow night. A couple of stories in Knife Life News. We're going to talk about Case and YouTube's Blade Banter that now has a knife of his own, as well as a lot of knife talk on this one. Bob's state of the collection, going to talk about the Bark River Bowie that he got, going to continue the conversation with the attention to detail Mark 1 that he got, three knives that he's got for review from the Pass Around group to talk about. So, hey, Bob, it sounds like a lot of knife talk.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been away for a week and didn't have an opportunity to really blab and bloviate about knives without boring the company. So yeah, I saved it up for today.
Well, and of course, our fans of Thursday Night Knives know that we did not have a show this past Thursday. That was August the 20th. Hopefully that won't be a too common of an occurrence, but you know, we do have to take vacations every once in a while. And I know on last Thursday, I went up to bed about 11:15, and my wife was still up actually watching one of the Democratic convention that was that week. And she said, "What are you doing up here so early?" And I said, "Well, no show this week." And she was like, "Oh," and I was like, "I know, I miss it so badly. I didn't know what to do with my Thursday night."
Yeah, that's right. At Thursday night, strangely, in the middle of the proceedings down at the beach, we're all hanging out, and suddenly I launched into it. I didn't even know it's 10 o'clock. I started talking knives. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really, but I wanted to.
Around the bonfire on the beach. Let's talk knives.
Hey guys, this is all really interesting, but guess what? Bark River Knives just came out with a new Bowie.
That broke up the party, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of knife junkies there on the beach with you, but anyway.
Sympathetic.
Yeah. Well, speaking of knife talk, one cool thing that happened this Monday, August 24th, was National Knife Day. Man, I know we don't need a reason to celebrate, but National Knife Day, Bob.
Yeah, and you know, I hope everyone got the day off. If not, I think you need to lobby the bosses at work. It's an important day. We have to remember how important knives are at least once a year with a work free day. And it was Monday. I think Monday is the perfect day not to go to work.
Any day is a great day not to go to work. But yeah, Knife Day, National Knife Day. Hope you did have a chance to celebrate. Think about how you use knives, even buy yourself a new knife. I know Bob always has any excuse to buy a new knife. Hopefully you use that same excuse to buy a new knife. And I know the good folks over at Knives Ship Free had a great promotion where if you bought a knife over the weekend, you were entered into a drawing for like three different knives. All you had to do was buy a knife and then be entered in a drawing for one of three awesome knives.
Yeah. Like dream knives, by the way. Like, okay, I'm sorry. I just said like a whole bunch of times. Like I was hanging out with a bunch of girls all week. So let me start this over. Three different categories of knives. Knife Ship Free was giving away. So if you bought a fixed blade knife, you got entered in to a contest to win a fixed blade knife, but not just any fixed blade knife, a Randall Model 1, which is possibly the most beautiful fixed blade knife you could ever have. I just think they're outstanding and beautiful, and they've been around since World War II, and they've been imitated many, many times over. And just an amazing, and they're hard to get. You order one, you better wait 6 years. You're going to wait 6 years to get one custom made. They're incredible. I mean, you can find them on the secondary market, and sometimes places like Knives Ship Free will stock a couple, but they go fast. So you had a chance to win Model 1, Randall, or you could win, if you bought a folder, you could win a Sebenza 21 with red linen micarta inlays, which is just gorgeous. I'm a big sucker for the 21 micarta inlay, or the 21 inlay period, but I love micarta. And with the red, it's a signature thing for Knives Ship Free. You could win that. Or if you bought a chef's knife or a kitchen knife, you were entered in to win a Shun Premier Santoku. Shun is a Kai brand. Kai, the people who bring you Zero Tolerance and Kershaw. Those are our kitchen knives. We got them for our wedding 14 years ago. 13 years ago.
Do you want me to edit out?
Don't worry, she's not listening. Your wife.
Okay. One, have I run out of fingers to count them up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't ask me. Please don't ask me. It's a long time, I know that. Hey, one nice thing about Knives Ship Free is we do have an affiliate relationship with them. And if you go to our website and then purchase anything from Knives Ship Free, we'll earn a very small commission that'll help us pay the bills and keep the lights on. If you want to see those knives or a lot of different knives, go to thenifejunkie.com/knives, thenifejunkie.com/knives. And also, if you want to subscribe to the Knife Junkie newsletter, if you're not yet subscribed, this past Friday's edition of the newsletter included all this information about the Knives Ship Free contest and drawing and giveaway of knives and National Knife Day. So another reason to find some tidbits of news and that kind of thing going on with the Knife Junkie's newsletter that you can find at thenifejunkie.com/subscribe. All right, Bob, as I am looking at you, your face is a little browner. You've had the week out in the sun down on the North Carolina coast, had your chance to get away. I'm surprised you came back.
Yeah, so am I. We went to Ocean Isle Beach for a summer vacation 1 week with some very close friends. We stayed in a beautiful Airbnb. It's a great place. And every single day, it rained a little bit, and then we had a beautiful sunny day. So we went to the beach every day. It was great. And it reminded me a lot of my childhood. We used to go down to Nag's Head. We'd drive down from Ohio in these epic drives and stay there for 2 weeks. And back in the day, Nag's Head was sort of undeveloped and felt kind of wild. And you always saw wildlife. And down there in Ocean Isle Beach, it was kind of had a similar feel, though, lots of homes and stuff like that. But the beach was incredible. And a couple of days there, a surf fisherman caught a shark, caught a couple of skates. And then I'm in the water with my good friend, Kurt. Actually, he was a guest on this show, Kurt Cepeda. We're in the water and we're playing in the waves with our daughters. Daughters are facing us. We're facing the horizon. And man, thank God we were oriented in the same direction, because I wouldn't have believed him and he wouldn't have believed me. But we both saw a shark breaching the water. And I've never seen that. It was a good 6 feet long. It was black on top, white on bottom, bullet shaped. It had a symmetrical tail and it shot out of the waves.
And you shot out of the water.
And disappeared. Yeah. It was about, as the story is told and retold, it's closer and closer, but
it's an arm's length away.
Yeah. Right. It was about 50 feet away, but big enough to see it was about the size of a man. And Kurt said to me, "That wasn't a dolphin, was it?" And I said, "No, that was a shark." We called to our daughters, "We got to get out of the water." They're like, "No, we don't want to. We're having fun. We just got it." And I said, "Shark." I saw a shark. And they bolted, man.
Right.
They bolted. It was an amazing thing to see. And I'm still kind of stunned, because when I put all of the physical characteristics of it together, seems like, it wasn't a black tip, and that's what we saw someone else catch. It was something more in the mackerel shark family. And, that's just creepy to know that we were swimming so close to something like that. Right. So there you go. That was my little adventure. And, actually, one thing this reminded me of, Jim, was that it reminded me that when I was a little kid, I used to say shark knife instead of sharp knife. And my parents used to always laugh at that shark knife. I think going down to Nag's Head when I was little, and all the pirate stuff and all the pirate swords and the sharks and stuff had a big impact.
Well, I know a lot of the interviews you've done on the Knife Junkie podcast have knives that do have shark names or look like sharks or those kind of things. So after you got over your heart racing experience of seeing the shark, getting the girls out of the water, as you're laying back on the beach, did you happen to go, you know, that shark reminded me of the blank knife?
Yeah, that looked just like a Greg Lightfoot jumping out of the water. Yeah, no. Yeah, I was sitting there like, man, sitting on the beach watching the water, and every little wave was that's a fin.
Better to be on the sand admiring it than be in the water fearing it or whatever.
Amazing thing.
All right, so the birthday celebration continues. The birthday knife from your parents finally came in. We'll just tease that just for a moment, as well as something about a new musical instrument. Yes. Bob, I don't know what that's got to do with knives, but it's on my show notes here.
It has nothing to do with knives.
Okay.
It's part of my birthday haul, man. I just made out this year. My parents got me a knife I've been bloviating about on the podcast, and my dad's a good listener, so... that came in. But I also, my wife got me an acoustic bass guitar. I used to play bass in bands and when, you know, in my younger years. And before we do an interview or before Thursday Night Knives or before we do the show, I always listen to music and pace around and get the room ready. And I'm always...
That's true, folks. I have to turn my monitor off.
Yeah, that's right. And turn your speakers down. And I'm air bass playing the whole time. So she bought me the bass, and now I can play again during my pre-podcast ritual. I had a great birthday.
I'm so happy.
it'll be you don't want to hear the real thing. You want to hear me kind of hack through it, Jim.
I don't even know what to say about that, Bob.
All right. I guess we better just move along.
What do your mom say? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So
we'll go from my musical chops to my directing chops.
Oh, okay. Good transition.
Yeah. Well, I'll be directing Thursday Night Knives this week because you're going to be bringing your son to college.
Yeah. Big life event for him. Not only going to college, but it's not like it's, you know, the neighborhood college or the community college or the college, you know, in the next town over or even the next state over. He's going up to New England. We live in Virginia, and he's going up to New England to college. So they're still going. The college is a small college, and they've done a lot to, you know, kind of keep everybody safe during the COVID coronavirus situation. But once he gets on campus, he can't come home until after Thanksgiving. So it's like, big step for him, you know, because I know when I went to college, I went home every weekend, you know, especially the first year, you know, because I was not that far away. And I wanted to get mom to do the laundry. But,
he'll be mailing that home to you.
No, he's actually learned how to do laundry and everything. So definitely proud of him. But yeah, big event. So I will miss Thursday Night Knives. I think my first time ever missing a Thursday Night Knives. But I know you'll do fine. Hopefully you'll have some folks join you. I know we always have folks join us, but the conversations are always great on Thursday Night Knives. And won't be directing, but I will see what the hotel Wi-Fi looks like and try to watch.
Cool. Well, you know, we have a lot of loquacious guests, so I won't have to hold things up for too long with my own talking. So I'll get to dabble with all the different camera setups and graphics. It'll be awesome.
All right. Maybe you could talk for a minute. I'm going to Google loquacious.
Okay. What that means.
No, I'm just teasing. All right. A lot of stuff still to come. Of course, some stories in Knife Life News we want to get to, as well as a lot of knife talk this week with the birthday knife from Bob, the attention to detail knife that Bob's going to talk a little bit more about. It's breaking in nicely, as well as three knives that he's got from the pass around group for review that he's going to talk about, all coming up as the Knife Junkie podcast continues.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
All right, back on the Knife Junkie podcast, Knife Life News. We're going to talk about case knives as well as a YouTuber who's got a new knife. So we'll start with Case, Bob, a partnership there.
Yeah. Well, it's an unusual looking knife coming out of Case. You know, I know Case gets pigeonholed with their very collectible slip joint folders, but they've been making fixed blade knives for years. They make the big Bowies, they make hunting knives, they make all sorts of fixed blades and other kind of knives outside of just that traditional grandpa pocket knife, so to speak. And, you know, nothing could be truer to that form than the new knife that they just came out with it's called the Kyle Lamb Hunter. And it's a collaboration with Winkler Knives, Daniel Winkler. And he worked with knife designer Kyle Lamb. And they came up with this knife that is supposed to be a hunter, but man, to me, it looks like a great soldier knife. Let me put it that way. It's got this sheepfoot blade, but it definitely has a penetrating point. It's got a saber grind and a big chunky finger choil right up front with a corresponding thumb swale. So you can really get up and power through if you need to get behind the blade. To me, this thing is a real soldier knife. It's a real sort of combat knife coming out of Case, but they are calling it a hunter, and well, they should know they're making it. Kyle Lamb is an interesting guy. He has a company called Viking Tactics, and he recently had three knives OEM produced by Topps Knives under the Viking Tactics shingle. And they're really interesting, cool soldier, combat-inspired knives. And this knife by Case, the Kyle Lamb Hunter, kind of fits with that form. It's got a micarta handle. It's got the thick saber grind. And it's made from 80 CRV, which is a particular favorite, apparently, of Winkler. And it's a very exciting, interesting knife to be coming out of Case to me, because some of their less traditional knives, like some of their more modern folding knives, like the ones they made with Southern Grind, just slightly missed the mark for me. But this one is, jumps out to me. What do you think, Jim?
You know, I'm looking at it and, you know, a newbie dumb question. What makes this knife so special? I mean, when I look at it, I go, okay, that's just like a lot of other knives, isn't it?
I think that it has to do with the collaboration between the storied knife maker Case and then Kyle Lamb and Daniel Winkler. I think it has to do with the collaboration. It's taking the manufacturing chops of Case and the design and knife making chops of Kyle Lamb and Daniel Winkler and bringing them all together into something that you know, you wouldn't otherwise get. In terms of the actual look of it, to me, the utility, it really looks like it could cross over from utility to tactical to, you know, fighting knife if need be, even though it's sort of marketed as a hunter.
All right, multi-purpose, I guess. Well, not multi-purpose, just fits a lot of different markets, if you will. Yeah. Hey, I had another knife newbie question, maybe a kind of learning experience for other folks that may be noobs that are not junkies like you and a lot of folks that are listening right now. We'll, of course, have the picture to the knife news story in the show notes at thenifejunkie.com/141, thenifejunkie.com/141. But as you're looking at this picture, mm-hmm. and you said finger choil, and I know I've heard that a lot, finger choil. Explain to me again what the finger choil is. Is it the big scoop that has the jimping on it on the blade, or is that the little finger scoop on the handle?
Actually, both. I was referring to the big jimped one that you mentioned first, but I have heard people get technical and say that finger choil is an incorrect term. A choil is the sharpening little notch, but I guess that's getting a little too in the weeds for me. So I call that thing a choil, but any sort of cutaway that is there for your finger to lock into so you get better control and oftentimes closer to the blade. And I tend to use the term swale for the corollary on top for your thumb. I never say a thumb choil. I always say a swale. Like a gentle hill, I think.
Like a little scooper. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, what do you call it? We'd like to hear from you if you have another term or agree or disagree with Bob's terminology or whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment on the listener line at 724-466-4487. We would love to hear your thoughts again, 724-466-4487.
And let me just add that if you do take the time to call in or write in to correct me in the term of choil, I would suggest you've got other things to do. You've got other things to worry about.
That sounds like a challenge there.
No. I'm just kidding. These are important topics.
That's right. That's why we talk about them right here. All right. Another important topic we want to talk about, Bob, a YouTube friend of yours, Blade Banter. He's got a new knife, man.
Yep. David Cam of Blade Banter, YouTube's knife reviewer, Blade Banter, who's been reviewing knives for 2 years, has come out with his own knife company and his first knife. It's Orion Knives is the name of the company, and the Solaris is the debuting design. And looks like he is fully funded on Kickstarter, so this thing is happening. I mean, he's more than on his way. And I got a version of this knife, the Solaris, in the mail the other day. Through the pass around group. And I gotta say, man, I am terribly impressed. Let me just break it down. So it's designed by a knife enthusiast. So really it has so many things just dialed in ideally for the knife enthusiast. And I would say the most conspicuous design choice here is the button lock, which is a not often used, but greatly appreciated locking system. People seem to love them. I love them. I haven't had too many of them in my day, and most of them have been automatics. But this is a button lock flipper on bearings with a thumb stud, and it's got a drop point blade and a semi neutral handle. And I gotta say, man, he really nailed the design around the pivot. Around the pivot, it's the flipper actuation is perfect. The spidey flicking and thumb stud actuation of this is perfect. Everything is set up geometrically, ideally to the pivot, and makes this an incredibly smooth knife. And well, there are other details. I don't want to turn this into a full review, but his Kickstarter, get on it. 14C28N is the blade steel. It's very, very thinly ground, thin behind the edge. High saber grind, high flat grind, and just an excellent, excellent EDC. And but that's just from having it for less than 24 hours and just noodling with it. I haven't All right. cut a piece of paper with it yet, but it's very impressive.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a video review of that on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube at some point.
Yep.
And we will reference that David is actually going to be on the Knife Junkie podcast in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
We'll have that interview coming up with him. And, of course, we'll show that off as we have started doing those interviews on video as well. So have a lot of opportunity to see a lot of that knife on the video episode if you choose to watch it that way.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to get together, David and I. We're going to talk about the entire process of going from a knife fan enthusiast to a reviewer to now, owner of his own company, making a very impressive knife. So it should be a great interview.
You want to do that interview for solely personal reasons?
Yeah, right. I'm going to take a bunch of notes. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, one interesting thing I found in the Knife News story was that, as you said, he's been doing knife reviews for a couple of years. This is a button lock. And the story said, interestingly, the first knife he reviewed was a button lock folder. So kind of brings it all back home.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm very, very impressed with David's work. Look forward to talking to him.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, back on the Knife Junkie podcast. We are on episode number 141. Again, show notes, pictures, all kind of good stuff at thenifejunkie.com/141. Bob, Mom and Dad listened. The Bark River Bowie knife was received from the parents as a birthday gift.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's funny. I'm not a young man, but I feel like a child getting a gift like this from my parents. Cause, I mean, it's just, it's like getting, unwrapping like that ultimate Lego set or something. I was just so happy to receive this. Right. Anyway, you know, I've been talking a lot about wanting a Bowie recently. I don't know why. I've just wanted a new Bowie. Oh, I do know why, actually, because I saw what was inside the Laredo Bowie. The tang of the Laredo Bowie, which I always considered my most stout and battle worthy. And then I wasn't happy with what the tang looked like. And, that sent me on a journey to find
a quest.
And a lot of people responded and many people said, Bob, check out Bark River Bowies. And, and I was like, yeah, but I'm afraid I won't, you know, I'll be too gingerly with it. So I think I'll look elsewhere. And then they were all right. Everyone who's listening, you were right. Bark River came out with their V44 Bowie. They did an iteration of this a few years back, but it's based on the classic Marine Raider Bowie, which was kind of part weapon, part machete for the Pacific Theater, during World War II. So it doesn't have the thick quarter-inch blade of a traditional Bowie. It's about half that. But it's big. It's 9 inches, sharp as all hell, because it's a wide blade. It's one of those Bowies that widens out towards the tip, has a lot of belly. So with a real high flat grind on a wide blade like that, and then with Bark River's convex grind, I mean, this thing slips between atoms, Jim. It's so sharp. Yeah, a beautiful. The only thing that would make this knife better is if they sharpened the swedge, but that's my thing. I think a Bowie should have a sharpened swedge. But like I said, it is supposed to be part machete, so maybe so that you can, if you needed to baton with it, you know, a sharpened swedge is a buzzkill if you're batoning something because you're just chopping your baton up. But anyway, the handle—that's what everyone wants to know about with the Bark River, right? Because every model they come out with comes in a multitude of handles, from black canvas micarta, which is their base, all the way up to super exotic woods and other combinations of materials. And I kind of labored, as you might imagine, between the beautiful stacked leather handle that, Jim, you were commenting on that you like.
Yeah, love that one.
Yeah, beautiful. Kind of a traditional military look. And then they have the Moran style handle, which is what I ended up getting, which is a contoured sort of horse hoof style handle. That's what I call it. I don't know if anyone else calls that a horse hoof, but it has a sort of widening at the end. It's beautiful, contoured, and I got the green canvas micarta because I am a sucker for canvas micarta, and I have a Bush Sax or a mini Bush Sax. I don't know. One of their saxes that they make in green canvas micarta. So this is, it almost ends up being a complimentary piece, but thanks, Mom and Dad. I really, really appreciate that gift. And thanks for listening to the show, by the way.
More gift ideas coming later.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
That's right.
Yeah. This thing, it totally scratched my Bowie itch. Let me just put it that way. So,
all right.
Beautiful thing.
Will this be a knife that you take for your vine cutting adventures in the backyard?
I could, but I won't.
Okay, I figured as much, but I thought I'd needed to ask.
Yeah. Could, but I won't.
Is that one of those...
It's like a last stand at the Alamo kind of knife.
What, they call them safe queens?
Yeah, no.
Not quite that much.
No safe queens here, bro. Just kidding. Lots of safe queens here, but Not this one.
All right. Well, let's see what else we can talk about birthday knives. Oh, yeah, you're breaking in the attention to detail knife that you
I know.
A little more comfortable with.
I talked a lot about it last week, so I'll keep it brief. But my A2D Mark I large, which started out a week ago like a new Medford or a new Strider with lock stick and a stiff action in 1 week. Oh my God, it's butter and it's not sticking. And the flipping action is awesome. I'm going to do an update on the knife. I'm so happy with it. And so happy that it's, a custom knife and it's a guy I've had on the show. And I'm just pleased as punch with this thing.
So happy that it's yours.
So happy that it's mine. And I feel like sometimes I feel like I might need to change my wardrobe around it. It's so darn classy.
Oh, okay. But did this classy knife go with you to the beach, or did you not want to carry it?
It did. It came to the beach with a couple of other knives, and then they all stayed in their little zipper pouch because I brought the Spidey Chef to the beach one day and realized, oh, yeah, duh, sand. lots and lots of sand. So I kept the knives. You know what I brought? I brought my little Ed Calderon-inspired fruit knife in the sheath with me.
Okay.
Because,
good knife to have.
Yeah.
All right, three more knives to talk about, all from the famous pass-around group that you're going to be doing reviews on, but you want to do a little audio review or a little audio talk about them first.
Yeah, just a little preview. And actually, one of those knives on your list, Jim, was the Orion, the Solaris Orion. So I've already talked about that. That one I'm going to take a week with and then make a video. But also, I got two other knives in the pass around here, and one of them is this Midgard's Messer. A German Messer is German for knife, and it's a Midgard's Messer Viking. And if you're listening to this show, I'm sure you've seen videos on this knife online by Dirk. Dirk Werning did one. A number of people did. I think Cutlery Lover did one on this giant. Frame titanium frame lock folder from Germany. I mean, it's got a huge tanto that I'm sure could split logs. It's just huge. And the handle, I would need six fingers to fill up this handle, and that would be really gross. But so I'm going to be talking about this, without seeing it, it doesn't mean much. But let me just say, it is the most deliciously ridiculous extrapolation of the form. Let me just put it that way. Very cool.
Let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. You'll, of course, give me pictures of this knife as well as the Orion and the next one that you're going to talk about, as well as maybe your birthday knife that you got from mom and dad. We'll have a bunch of pictures this week. So we'll try to have pictures in the show notes again at thenifejunkie.com/141, thenifejunkie.com/141. That way, as you're listening to the podcast, you can go over to the webpage and kind of look at some of these things Bob's talking about.
That's my weekly on-air reminder.
That's right.
Thank you, Jim. I will definitely send pictures of all these ridiculous knives. The last ridiculous knife is pretty cool, and it's been out for quite a while, at least 7 years, I'll say. But I've always been interested in it, and we were talking about North Carolina before, Jim. This is a company in North Carolina in Asheville called Asheville Steel. It's a family-owned company, and they make a very, very interesting style knife called the Paragon. They make some out the fronts, they make some out the side automatics, but this Paragon to me is the most interesting offering by them, and I got it through the pass around group. Now, it's a fully encapsulated blade that is released when you press two buttons, one on either side, right at the pivot. The body opens up, and the blade swings out, and once you get the hang of it, it's a fidgeter's daydream. I haven't gotten the hang of it yet, but it's a very, very interesting knife. So I'm going to be doing a review on this too. I've always been curious about this, and I love the fact that this style, where the blade is completely encapsulated inside the handle, allows for all sorts of double edge configurations that you can't get on a regular folder. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. So that'll be interesting. I'd never been familiar with them from my home state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Cool. Up in the mountains. Anything else you want to talk about knives, or is that enough?
Jim, I think that's it. I think that's it. After a week of laying fallow, I'm exhausted. It's such an emotional roller coaster over here, you know?
Well, again, remind you that if you're listening to this on Tuesday, means you're one of our Knife Junkie patrons. That means you get early access to the podcast on Tuesday before it releases to the public on Wednesday. If you want to have that same privilege as well as others, just go to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon, thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. If you're listening when it drops regularly, publicly, on Wednesday, Thursday Night Knives is coming up tomorrow. We touched about it earlier. Bob's directorial debut on Thursday Night Knives. Hopefully you can join him on the show and talk knives, show off a bunch of knives. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel and Facebook page at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube or thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. So, Bob, as we wrap it up this week, I do want to also remind folks that this coming Sunday on the interview show, it's going to be Skiff Squared or whatever the phrase is. Steve and Steve Skiff of Skiff Made Blades is coming up this Sunday on the interview show.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. They've really taken the folding knife market by storm, especially custom collectors. Man, people are in love with their work, and I can see why. Never personally handled one, but hopefully that changes post-haste.
All right. That's coming up this Sunday, again tomorrow night, Thursday Night Knives at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Knife Junkies YouTube and Facebook pages. Lots of opportunities to catch up on Knife Talk here with the Knife Junkie. So for Mr. Knife Junkie himself, Bob DeMarco, I'm the Knife Newbie over here, Jim Person, thanking you so much for joining us on episode number 141 of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.